This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
By the book on BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to By the Book with me, Lee Chui Lin, as well as my fellow gifter of books sometimes. Maybe during this festive season, Sharmila Ganesan.
Hello.
That little intro might tip you off, because essentially what we're talking about today is our year-end gift guide, really, is what it comes down to, because it is that time of year where people are thinking about what it is that you're going to get. I mean, especially we're a week out, so if you are in the throes of last-minute shopping, you might be looking at a book and thinking, huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think books are great gifts, right? I mean, I think that if you know someone well enough, it's a great gift. But that is the caveat.
That is 100% yes. The caveat.
Well, I don't know. You know, there are people who don't mind just receiving whatever book. I hear of these people. I don't know them, but I hear of them.
Okay, so I think I should just come out and say it. I am a reader who doesn't like receiving books. Mm. And the reason for that, and I realize that that makes me a nightmare, because obviously when people know that you're a reader, the number one immediate thing they think is, okay, that's it, you know, birthdays, Christmas, whatever, yes. Sorted for life. But I know I'm not alone in saying this. If I wanted to read something, I would have bought it already. So more often than not, books that I've personally received have either been random in the extreme or something that I already own. And there have been a number of times where I've unwrapped something and gone, oh, yeah, I haven't read this yet. And I'm lying.
Yeah. So that's always the challenge. So what happens is when someone knows I like a particular author, for instance, people who know that I like Asimov or Neil Gaiman, they might think it's a great idea to get me something they've written. Mm. Problem is, I own everything they've written. Asimov's dead. He's not going to write anything new. Neil Gaiman, if he wrote something new, you can bet I'm going to have it the week it comes out. So
Correct. That's
not a great gift idea for me. But I can understand why people would think it is.
Correct. So yeah. I just wanted to get all the negativity out of the way, shake it off, so that we can actually talk and get into what makes a good, I guess, guide when it comes mm-hmm. to buying books
as gifts.
Yes, yeah. Especially for the people. I think we can split it broadly into a number of categories, right? Like, what happens if you want to buy books for people who you don't know whether they read or not? So that's one thing. But the other is, what do you do when you're buying for a reader? Mm-hmm. That gets really complicated. Yeah, I think let's start with, since we've already kind of banged on about how it's problematic to buy books for readers, let's talk then about how to do it right.
Right. So I would say the best memories I have of being given books as gifts was when I was a child, and my parents, grandparents and uncles, every time they wanted to buy me a birthday present, or, you know, when I did well in an exam and I got a reward as a present, they would just take me to a bookstore and say, go pick two books you like and I'll pay for them.
Yeah.
Right. So having being given an element of choice is great. So sometimes, as antiseptic as it may sound, book vouchers are actually great gifts, because people can choose what books they want, in my opinion.
Especially, I think, nowadays, where there is also an online component. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, people can actually pick the books they want and not leave their homes.
Yes.
You know, because there's always the worry, I think, when it comes to vouchers, of expiry dates. That's a huge concern, that you're going to buy somebody, I don't know, like 200 ringgit worth of book vouchers, thinking they're going to come home with four great books. And instead, what happens is 6 months pass.
And the vouchers expire.
Correct.
Yeah. Or you run to the store on the last day and you're forced to buy whatever's available. Because that's the day you have to buy.
So book vouchers are, I think, a very good way of going about it, especially if you're buying it for somebody who doesn't have a romantic view of gift buying.
Yes.
If you're buying it for somebody who loves to be dazzled, then maybe vouchers aren't always your best bet. So I'm going to go with my most atas suggestion and work my way down. And the atas suggestion is that if you're buying for somebody special, if you're buying for somebody who is, very close to you, that you really want to spend a bit more on, mm-hmm. then I would buy a signed book, because then it doesn't matter whether I have or don't have a copy of this book. And if you know that I'm a huge fan of this one particular author, and we're not talking here about things like first editions or, you know, anything like that. It is not uncommon to find signed copies, especially when it's a book that is relatively new, where the author is still kind of actively out on the circuit doing book readings and things. You can actually place orders online for a signed copy with an inscription and get that going. So I would say, you know, if you are planning ahead, if you know that somebody likes that author, a signed book is a lovely idea.
I think that's a great idea. Adjacent to that, I'd say that another really good way of capitalizing on, like, you knowing that a person likes a particular author or a series would be to get, like, book-adjacent paraphernalia. Like, for instance, one of my favorite recent birthday gifts was I love The Little Prince.
It's already been 6 years since my friend went, taking his sheep with him. If I try to describe him here, so I won't forget him. It's sad to forget a friend. Not everyone has had a friend. And I might become like the grown-ups, who are no longer interested in anything but numbers, which is still another reason why I've bought a box of paints, some pencils. It is hard to take up drawing again at my age. I'll certainly try to make the portraits of the little prince as true to life as possible, but I'm not entirely sure of success.
My ex-partner got me a one of those sort of, it's like a beautiful bound box with, you know, moleskin diaries that are themed with Little Prince. Then they're like postcards and stickers and little things that you can sort of use in your everyday life that are all themed around The Little Prince with the illustrations from the book, which I think is really great if you're the kind of person who likes incorporating the things you read into just everything else.
Yes. Yeah. And with something like The Little Prince, that it's quite easy to do simply because every year there is new merchandise released around it, right?
And things like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
They all have
Peter Pan.
So they all have, because of the illustration heavy nature of the works, you always get stuff like that.
Yes. Okay. So we've covered, I think, sort of book related things. Now, if you wanted to buy a book for a reader, I think what Sharmila said at the start of the show is probably the key thing, which is, how well do you know this person? Mm-hmm. And I think here it's also a mixture of things. How well do you know what they're like as a reader? Meaning, what do they like to read? Who do they like to read? But the other thing is also, if you don't know that, it doesn't really matter. You still need to know roughly what is this person like, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that you understand their sense of humor? Do you think that they you understand what they would find interesting? And then the other thing is, don't be intimidated by the bookstore, because I think what happens is people approach a bookshop with its many, many shelves, especially if you're going to one of the bigger boys, and then you just don't know where to go. So you end up gravitating towards the bestsellers, then you worry, and then maybe you go off towards the biographies, but then you worry. And I think the key thing here is to take your time, browse, and actually read through what the book says it does on the back, and see whether that story is, you think, intriguing to the person. Because the books that I've received that I've really enjoyed have had that element of surprise of, I didn't know about this, I didn't hear about it. And now that I've received it, it's like, oh, cool, I'm going to read this. And I have actually really enjoyed those. And they've introduced me to authors that I didn't otherwise, know about.
No, I think that's a really good point, that giving someone a book as a gift involves a certain element of knowing several different things about them. One, you kind of have to know what they already like to read, but then you also kind of have to know what kind of reader they are, because within that space, are they the kind who like the lighter stuff? Are they the kind who like the more literary stuff? And then you don't want to buy sort of the most popular name in that genre. They might already have it. So you might want to go for something a little bit off-center. But yeah, I think there's a true sense of delight, and despite all my cribbing earlier, actually being given a book that I didn't know about or have never read and realizing I really like it is a great delight. Like, I feel so close to a person when someone manages to do that. And I think that's kind of what you want to aim for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that said, right, and with, like I said, with all the complaints, that's why I wanted to get all of the annoying, complaining, book reading, you know, whatever, out of the way, because the last really great set of gifts I received that were to do with books came from my partner, who, when he bought me the books, I was disappointed at the gift, simply because, like I said, I am a reader who does not enjoy receiving books. It feels to me like an easy way out, almost, which is a horrid thing to say, but that's how it felt. And looking back now, and after I read both books, and I think I hurt his feelings with my reaction, understandably, I'm still sorry. And looking at the books that that he gave, they were really, really great selections. And he said he spent hours at Kino trying to pick it out. And they both had a little bit of me and a little bit of him, mm-hmm. because one was All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr, yeah. Which I've spoken about on the show before, about kind of two people in wartime connecting, one of whom is a blind French girl who has to find her way through puzzles, another who is a German boy who's also trying to make sense of radio and using that and the connections that they form. And it's a very literary novel, and it's very beautifully written, very poetic. And the other is just this wonderful book called Look Who's Back.
Is this Berlin? Where is the rubber? Who has cleared it? And the houses, the cars painted in colors that remind me of the confectionery of my childhood. I feel dizzy. Over there, a park bench.
Oi! You blind or what?
I am terribly sorry.
A bicyclist wearing a helmet which has sustained serious damage given the number of holes in it. So, we are still at war.
And it is a satirical novel about Adolf Hitler, written by Timo Vermes. And it's a great read. It is so funny. Even the premise of it alone is, look who's back. Guess who it is? It's Hitler. So it's a fantastic thing because he's a war buff and I'm not. But in both instances, he aimed for what he thought would be my literary tastes. And he was right. And he also went for something lighter and more satirical, which I also enjoy. And so I think that's kind of the best of it, right? Where you think about what the other person wants, but you also think about how you'd be introducing a bit of yourself into the selection.
Yes, I think you want that book to be remembered as something you gave them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's really important as well.
I'm still sorry, by the way, about my reaction. I regret it because truly those were two books I had never heard of. Timo Vermes, I had never heard of Anthony Doerr. And now I keep a lookout for what they do because I enjoyed those two books so much. So yeah, here on By the Book today, we are doing a bit of a Christmas gift guide. Mm-hmm. If you would like to weigh in, are you somebody who likes receiving books as gifts? And are you somebody who likes giving books as gifts? What do you do? Talk to us. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio, as well as write to us at buythebook@bfm.my.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Hello, you are listening to Buy the Book with Lynn and Sharmila. And because we are 1 week out from Christmas, today we are talking about Christmas gifts, really. But particularly, do you buy books? Do you buy books as gifts? Do you like receiving mm-hmm. books as gifts? Earlier, I think we talked about how to buy books for readers.
For readers.
What about non-readers?
So I think with non-readers, I often go the route of, who do I want to introduce to this person? Who can I introduce to this person that's going to convert you to my cause?
Right.
So that's tough because it really depends on the person. I tend to go with what they already like in terms of, say, movies or TV shows, or even the kinds of topics that they're interested in, and then work my way back from there. So if they're already a fan of sci-fi, for instance, I'm more likely to recommend a sci-fi book. If they're already a fan of feminist issues, maybe something along that genre might be better. But it's tough though, right? Because do you want to give someone a gift that they may not want to engage with?
Okay, so I feel like I'm playing therapist here, but what I would say is that maybe if you accept that the book will not be read right away, but it might be sometime in the future. So one problem I think with buying books as gifts is sometimes the tendency we all have to walk up maybe a month or two after and go, so did you read it? Did you like it? Because I loved it.
Yeah. Have you read it yet?
Correct. And I think we all just need to accept that when we give books as gifts, you got to let go. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not that person reads the book, wants the book, the point is it's done, okay? They might already have given it away. You just have to deal with that. And in the case of something like, so when you were saying just then about what people engage with for pop culture, I was thinking something like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
This year has been a big year for adaptations. And I think increasingly that's the case. We've seen Watchmen, for example, come back in the form of a TV series. We've seen American Gods, Handmaid's Tale, which we've spoken about recently. What else? Game of Thrones.
We saw Good Omens.
Yeah. So because of that, I think because there's so many different ways for people to engage with the text now, if you know that they enjoyed it, I think it's quite a sweet idea, actually, to go back and then give them the book and just say, you know, I noticed how much you enjoyed that. Maybe you would also enjoy reading the actual text. And in the case of something like Game of Thrones, which the show itself is quite intimidating. A lot of people don't know how to engage with it because it's so long. The books are worse.
I know. I was going to say Game of Thrones is one of those books, even if they like the show, I would be a little... to give the book as a gift.
Isn't it nice to have, though, especially if you give like a box set?
So you know what I might do is get one of those, like, you know, there are lots of, Game of Thrones, like world-building books, the ones that are beautifully illustrated and like the Targaryen family line.
Mm.
Yeah, those I might do. I may not do the actual novels unless I'd heard the person express interest in reading it.
I think there's also a sidebar here of, say, the Pride and Prejudice and zombies. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of line of stories. What was it? Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there are sort of avenues that you can explore when it comes to buying books for people where you know their other interests that you can try to integrate. And if they don't like it, it can still be passed off as, well, it's just for fun, you know? And if you like it, then go for it.
So I find graphic novels a great sort of midpoint for a lot of these things.
But not from hell. So you have to pick your battles.
Hell, no. That is a big one to start with. But for people who are not naturally readers, especially people who feel like they can't commit to reading a full book, I always feel like a graphic novel and not one of the very, very geeky, very geeky, very insider type ones, but there's so many graphic novels now. They're graphic novels on the life of Van Gogh.
Mm.
So yeah, things like that, I find, and people like things that are pretty as well. And a lot of graphic novels have beautiful illustrations.
That's what I was going to say. We can't underestimate the power of beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, when something is beautiful, it can go a long way towards making up for an attention span. Like, you might not necessarily want to sit through it, but if it's gorgeous, the cover, if the cover does... Yeah. You know, gives a lot of impact. I think that helps. The other thing I wanted to say was that I've noticed that this year there's been a really big boom in terms of cookbooks, in terms of cookbooks and cookbook authors becoming very, very popular on, say, social media. And for example, here I'm thinking of Alison Roman. So she currently has her second book out. Her first one was called Dining In. Her second book is Nothing Fancy. And I think that books like that, where they're not necessarily the tomes of yore, right? Like when we think about cookbooks of the past, I think they're these big, heavy, you know, like weapons in the kitchen. And now the new tone of cookbooks, and perhaps this is something we could do a whole show on, but the new tone of cookbooks is a lot more, hey there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Wanna look at this? Wanna learn how to do this? And in the same way that food shows are so popular, I think that giving the gift of good recipes, and if not good recipes, just a good read, a light read, is something that is nice for people. It's easy to engage with. It's actively useful. So if people don't want to engage with fiction, then, you know, that's another avenue that you could go down. There are several great cookbooks out there. I would recommend a Google.
So useful is actually one easy way to do it, isn't it? Like if you know someone already has a hobby, my mom, for instance, loves quilting. She loves crocheting. So I find, well, not now. Now she feels like she's above a lot of them. But I used to actually buy her books that revolved around those things, you know, patterns, different designs, or even just inspiration. And that was, it's still a book, but it's also useful to her. And in a similar way, people who like building models or even, you know, people who like airplanes or people who like war paraphernalia. There are books for every one of those things. And they kind of bridge an interest while also being a book. So I kind of like that idea. And you find tons of books like this in Book Excess, and especially Big Bad Wolf, right? Where you have books that cater to every interest, and you can take people who aren't even readers and they'll find a book there that suits something they're interested in.
That's the thing. I mean, look, I love all bookshops equally, almost, not quite, but I do love any bookshop, truly. However, when it comes to gift buying, whether I'm buying for a reader or otherwise, honestly, Book Excess has always
been... Price point also, right?
Yes, it's price point. It's the fact that there is a certain randomness to the selection that actually makes chancing upon a treasure or something unusual quite common. I mean, I've gotten really amazing sculptural books, pull-out books, books that you can, you know, the big book of monsters, things like that, books that require a sort of more tactile involvement with them. It's a books that normally would cost $200 is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, if you were planning to buy, I guess, any of our suggestions, you could really go anywhere. But if you have no idea what you're planning to get and you are, say, shopping for a Secret Santa or, you know, you're just not fully certain, you can't really go wrong.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
So with that then, tell us, you know, when it comes to Christmas gift giving and gift receiving, how do you feel about books? Do you like receiving books? Do you like giving books?
Are you a snob about them?
Yeah, like we apparently are. What are your usual tricks, I guess, when it comes to shopping for this? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and of course, write to us at buythebook@bfm.my. And that brings us to footnotes. And so you've hopefully still spent the last 20 minutes listening to us, you know, talk on about gift buying, particularly when it comes to books. And you know what? We haven't actually said this year, if you receive a mysterious book-shaped package from us, what it would likely be. What would yours be?
So the last couple of years, the book that I've been giving as gifts to many people has actually been the same book. Ever since I read it a couple of years ago, it's a graphic novel called 100 Nights of Hero by Isabel Greenberg. And I think it does what I spoke about earlier, which is kind of bridge that gap between people who may not necessarily want to read a full book. It's a graphic novel that is kind of inspired by the 1001 Nights. It's the story of two women who live in a deeply patriarchal society and use the power of storytelling to escape it.
One of the most important themes for me in the book is that of sisters and also female friendship. That was definitely a theme that I really wanted to address. A lot of the stories that I draw on are from like traditional folk tales and things, and there's a lot of sisters in those kind of stories, some of whom stick together and some of whom don't. But I definitely wanted to write about how amazing it is to have a sister or a female friend and fight the patriarchy.
I think it's beautiful, and it's also a deeply literary story, but told in a way that I think almost anyone can relate to. And so I've actually, you know, at every given opportunity, I've been shoving this book at people, and that's still the book that I'd give anyone as a gift.
Lovely. So I in line with everything that I've been saying this entire show, I don't give many books as gifts, unless I know it's something that they want, because otherwise I worry. I think this is more about what I'm like as a gift buyer, really. But otherwise, I'm worried that it's an expected gift because I read, or that it's a boring gift because I read. So for both those reasons, I tend not to give books. However, this year, when I'm thinking back about books that I've enjoyed, books that I've really, books that I want others to read. Because I think that it's an easy read, but it's also kind of deeply affecting. It's also nice for this time of year. It's a nice holiday read. Would be Delayed Rays of a Star by Amanda Lee Coe. And I think if you missed it, you can catch our interview with Amanda from earlier this year. But it was a book that I just swallowed and felt so charmed and relieved by, because it came during a dry spell for me in terms of reading. And I just think it's something that you would be glad to have on your bookshelves. So I would buy that if I were buying a book.
That's an off-center choice, but I totally get why you would pick it though.
Mm. Yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of entry points for people. There's Hollywood, yeah. There's women's stories, mm-hmm. there's just glamour, if that's your thing. So a lot of, you know, entries. Mm-hmm. So that's what we would do, but we also kind of wanted to take a quick look around and find out what it is that people are doing. And that is what we have up for you next.
My pick would be Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. I think it's a book for all ages, something young adults could read, something older adults should definitely read. Just this idea of inclusivity is so beautifully put throughout the book, and I like the little visual kind of representations as well that supplement the text. And I won't say anything about the plot, but it is about a young boy who's trying to solve a murder.
A great book to give, I think, would be The Kite Runner by Khalid Hosseini. It's a very easy read and it'll get you hooked, and the story is very riveting.
If I had to give a book this holiday season, I'd give El Club Dumas, a 1993 novel by this great Spanish novelist, Arturo Perez Reverte. This is a book that has everything. Intrigue, erudition, a keen sense of humor and irony, witchcraft. This is a murder mystery set not in a drawing room, but in the claustrophobic confines of antique libraries and the stone basements of devil worshippers. Definitely worth a read, whether in Spanish or in translation.
A book that I would give, I guess, everyone during the holidays would probably be Chuck Palahniuk's book, Damned. So it's about Madison. I think she's 13, a 13-year-old who dies of marijuana overdose, which is kind of funny, I feel. And so it's basically about how she ends up in hell. And it's just her journey through hell and meeting Satan. And every time she talks to him, she'll start with, "Hello, Satan, are you there? It's me, Madison." So I think, and it's, I know it sounds dark, but it's pretty quirky, it's funny, it's sassy. I love Madison, and I think, you know, we all need a little spiciness every Christmas, yeah.
I think I would definitely give C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. There's definitely at least one edition out there where you can get a book that has all the seven stories in it. They're just really fascinating. There's some great stories, great adventures, but then there's also deeper allegory and deeper meaning to kind of look into in the stories. So I would definitely recommend that book and give it to a friend.
So for lighthearted reading during the holidays, I think I would recommend The Phantom Toll Booth, because I personally think that's like one of my favorite books. It's just full of like puns. And this adventurous little boy with his watchdog, spelled W-A-T-C-H dog. So yeah, like I think that's like a really good way to unwind during the holidays, and sort of like a book that you don't have to think much about and you would enjoy it.
So a book that I actually have given to people for birthdays and for festivals is The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F by Mark Manson. I know it sounds a bit crude, but the book does a very good job of putting life into perspective, especially, you know, there's so much volatility and craziness going on in the world. He writes it's a very self-helpish book, but helps put life into context.
I would probably give someone the book Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. It is one of my favorite books of all time. For someone who hasn't read in a long time, I think it's a really good book to kind of start you off, because it's really short. It's like 100, 200 pages, and it's sci-fi. And it's a very short novel that packs a huge punch, I think. You know, it really makes you think about things. It's a dystopian novel. And there's so much to make you think. There's so much to kind of grip you into it the more you read. And I think it's just a good book all around to read any time of the year.
I would pick something from Terry Pratchett, because I love Terry Pratchett. I love his humour, his wit. And yeah, I think that would be something I would give someone.
I would give the current book I'm reading, which is called Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. And I think a lot of people just don't get enough sleep. And if I could give everybody one gift for the next year, it's just for you to allow yourself more time to rest. Like, your body really needs it. I've been really, really convinced by this book that I really need to be taking better care of myself. And I would love it if other people also took good care of themselves. Plus, it's a really enjoyable, well-researched book. So, you know, great present altogether.
All right. So that concludes our little gift guide episode.
Yes,
of
plenty
By the Book.
Of ideas there.
Yeah. I'm pleased to know that there are still people planning to buy books as gifts. Good to know. And yeah, tell us, what would your choice be? Is, you know, are books something that top your shopping list every year when it comes to Christmas? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio and write to us at buythebook@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.